Ever wonder how those intricate plastic parts in things like your phone get made so perfectly?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Well, today we're diving deep into one of the unsung heroes behind it all,
Yeah.
demolding,
Demolding.
demolding.
It's basically the process of getting a molded part out of its mold,
Right.
but it's way more intricate than it sounds.
I bet.
It can really make or break the whole manufacturing process, you
Yeah.
know? Like the quality, how fast you can make things, the whole nine yards.
It's a pretty big deal, even though most people probably don't think about it.
Exactly.
We've got a technical guide to controlling demolding force today.
Oh, nice.
And it really gets into all the details, like
Sure.
product design and material science, to those special release agents that help everything slide out perfectly.
Yeah, those release agents are pretty important.
So the source material really emphasizes that demolding force isn't just about brute force,
Right?
it's more like a balancing act.
Totally. Too much force, and you could damage the part. Too little, and it won't budge.
Oh.
You gotta find that sweet spot.
So it's like a manufacturing Goldilocks scenario.
Yeah. Not too much, not too little. Just right.
Exactly. And getting it just right starts with understanding the product's design.
Oh, for sure.
Like, who knew the shape of something would make such a big difference in how easily it pops out of the mold?
Right. It's kind of wild when you think about it.
Totally.
You have these complex shapes, all those nooks and crannies, deep cavities, undercuts. Yeah,
Undercuts.
those are the tricky parts. You know, they face inward.
Okay.
All those things just add so much friction when you're trying to demold.
Ah, that makes sense.
Like, imagine trying to get a cake out of a Bundt pan. All those little grooves want to hold onto that cake.
I could totally see that.
Same thing with a molded part.
The source actually has a cool visual, comparing like a simple cylinder to a really complex latticework design.
Oh, cool.
And obviously, the latticework would be way harder to get out of the mold because of all those intricate
Right,
details.
way more surface area.
Exactly. And that brings me to something the source mentioned,
Very good.
draft angles. I
Yeah.
wasn't quite sure what those were.
So draft angles are those slight slopes you see on a lot of molded products. They
Okay.
might seem subtle, but they're super important for reducing friction.
Interesting.
Even like a tiny angle, we're talking like half a degree to 2 degrees, can make a huge difference.
Wow, so even the smallest little tweak can help.
For sure, every little bit counts.
So it's kind of like giving the part a little wiggle room to break free from the mold, like a boat hull.
Yeah, good analogy. The slooping shape helps it cut through the water with
Okay.
less resistance.
I'm starting to realize how important these seemingly minor details
They
are.
really add up.
And it's not just the overall shape, right?
Hey.
Even the thickness of the walls can affect demolding.
Absolutely.
The source mentioned thin walls and how they cool unevenly, which creates stress and makes them cling to the mold, almost like shrink wrap.
Exactly. That uneven cooling creates internal stress in the material.
So it's like the plastic's trying to give the mold a last hug.
Pretty much. It
Yeah.
just doesn't want to let go.
Okay, so we've talked about how the product is designed, but what about the mold itself?
Yeah, the mold's a big deal.
Apparently, that plays a huge role too.
It's like the foundation of the whole process, you know?
Right, so the design of the mold can make demolding way easier or harder.
Exactly. And one of the key things is the surface finish of the mold.
Oh,
The
interesting.
source compared rough mold surfaces to sandpaper
Right.
and said that smooth surfaces are really crucial for precision holding.
But why?
Well, you see, all those tiny imperfections on a rough surface create friction.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of like trying to slide a box across a rough floor.
Oh, right, that makes sense.
Way more effort than a smooth one.
So with those really precise parts, even a tiny little bump can mess things up.
Exactly, and that's where techniques like EDM come in.
EDM.
EDM, yeah.
What's that?
It stands for electrical discharge machining. Basically, it uses these controlled sparks to erode metal and create those super smooth surfaces on the mold.
Interesting.
It's like microscopic chiseling.
Wow. So it's like giving the mold a spa treatment for ultimate slipperiness.
Yeah.
And this explains why so many high-quality products have that super smooth, almost luxurious feel.
Exactly.
It's not just the material, it's the precision of the mold itself.
It's all about controlling that friction
Right.
every step of the way.
Okay, got it.
And another important part of mold design for this is the cooling system.
Oh, right.
Remember how we talked about thin walls cooling unevenly?
Yeah.
Well, that's where a well-designed cooling system is key.
I'm guessing we're not just talking about pointing a fan at the mold.
Right.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
The source talks about this cool thing called conformal cooling.
Okay.
It's pretty fascinating, actually.
I'm intrigued.
It's all about creating these cooling channels within the mold that match the shape of the product.
Oh, wow.
It's like a custom-fitted cooling system, you know?
So instead of just cooling the whole thing down generally,
Right.
it's targeted.
Exactly.
So by making sure the part cools down evenly, it prevents warping and reduces those internal stresses that can make it stick to the mold.
Exactly. But it's not just cooling and surface finishes. The mold can actually have special mechanisms built right in to make demolding even smoother.
Really?
Yeah, the source called them advanced demolding mechanisms.
So what are we talking about? Like tiny little robot arms that push the part out.
Not quite, but it's still some really clever engineering.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Take sliders, for example.
Sliders.
Imagine you're molding a part with an undercut.
An undercut.
You know, like a shape that dips inward, like the neck of a bottle.
Like the neck of a
That's.
bottle. Okay, so it's a shape that would normally make it super hard to pull the part straight out.
Right.
So
Exactly.
that's where these sliders come in.
Yep. They're basically these moving parts within the mold that like shift in a certain way to release those tricky shapes.
So they let the mold kind of unhook from those features.
Exactly.
That's so cool. So the mold has these secret compartments that move around.
Pretty much, it's all about outsmarting those tricky
I
shapes.
love it.
It prevents damage to both the part and the mold, which is super important.
Smart. Okay, so we've covered how the product is designed and how the mold itself is designed. But what about the actual material we're molding with? Does that make a big difference in demolding too?
Huge difference.
Really?
A material selection is like crucial for getting good results.
Okay.
Different plastics have different properties, you know, and some are just way more difficult to demold than
The
others.
source gave the example of polypropylene, which has a high shrinkage rate, versus ABS, which has a lower shrinkage rate.
Right.
Wait, so the material actually shrinks as it cools down.
Exactly. And as it shrinks, it grips the mold tighter, making it harder to get out. Think of it like squeezing a balloon as it deflates. It
Oh.
creates a tighter grip, right?
Okay.
So a material like polypropylene with a high shrinkage rate is going to be much more stubborn when you're trying to demold it.
So it's almost like you got to choose the right type of dough for your baking project. Some doughs rise more than others.
Haha. Yeah, you need the right dough for the right pan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The source also mentioned hardness and elasticity. Are those important too?
Absolutely.
Okay, so remind me, what exactly is hardness again?
Hardness is how resistant a material is to scratching or denting.
Oh, right.
And elasticity is how much it can stretch and return to its original shape.
Okay, got it.
If a material is too hard, it can increase friction during demolding, making it tougher to release.
Makes sense.
On the other hand, if it's too elastic, it might bend or warp as you're pulling it out, which also causes
So
problems.
you got to find that sweet spot again.
Yep, Goldilocks is back. Not too hard, not too soft, just exactly. Okay, so we've got the product design, the mold design, the material itself.
What else could there be?
Well, the source did mention these special release agents.
Ah, right.
Are those like the secret sauce of demolding?
They're pretty important, that's for sure.
Are they like WD-40 for molds?
That's a good way to put it.
Does it just make everything super slippery?
Yeah, they basically act as a lubricant, creating a barrier between the part and the mold.
Okay.
Helps reduce friction and prevent sticking.
Makes sense.
But you can't just use any old release agent. You got to choose the right one for the job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some are better for high gloss finishes, some work better at high temperatures.
Ah, so there's a whole science to it.
Definitely.
And the source also talked about different ways to apply them, like spraying versus brushing. Is it kind of like painting a wall? You spray for big areas and brush for the details?
It's similar, but you got to be careful with overspray when you're spraying.
Oh, right.
Brushing can be good for small areas, but it can be tough to get an even coat. Makes sense.
There's also dipping, which covers the whole mold, but that's not really practical for big molds.
So many options.
The main thing is to make sure you have consistent, even coverage. Too much release agent can actually cause problems, like residue buildup.
It's all about finding that balance again, isn't it?
It always is.
Even with the best designs and materials, things can still go wrong during demolding, right? What happens then?
You're right. Sometimes things don't go as planned.
So what are some of the common problems?
One of the most common is sticking, where the part just won't let go of the mold.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's a pain.
So why does that happen?
It could be because of insufficient draft angles, especially with those complex
Oh
shapes.
right, those tiny sloofs we talked about.
Yeah, or it could be the material itself. Some materials are just naturally sticky.
Like that polypropylene with its high shrinkage rate.
Exactly, it just loves to cling on.
Sticky situations indeed.
Another common problem is warping, where the part distorts as it cools.
Ah, so if it warps, it can get stuck in the mold.
Exactly.
So we got sticking, we got warping.
Not a good combo.
Definitely not ideal. So are there ways to prevent these things from happening?
Absolutely. A lot of it comes down to good planning and design.
Okay.
For example, using textured surfaces in certain areas of the mold can help.
Textured surfaces.
Yeah, instead of being perfectly smooth, the mold might have a slightly rougher texture in certain spots.
Interesting.
It might seem counterintuitive, but sometimes a little bit of roughness can actually help prevent sticking.
How does that work?
Well, it's kind of like the tread on a tire. It provides grip, but it also lets water escape.
Oh, I see.
Similarly, a textured surface on a mold can reduce sticking while still allowing for proper molding.
So it's about finding the right balance between smooth and rough.
Exactly. It's all about those subtle
What
details.
about warping? How do you prevent that?
Optimizing the cooling system is key.
Right, like that conformal cooling we talked about.
Yep, that's a big one.
Are there other ways?
You can also use venting.
Venting.
Yeah, like little air holes in the mold. They allow trapped air and gases to escape during the injection process.
It's like giving the air a way out so it doesn't mess things up.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
It helps relieve pressure that could push the part against the mold and cause sticking or warping.
Smart.
It's all about thinking ahead and anticipating those potential problems.
So what if you've done everything right? You got the perfect design, the right material, the cooling, the release agent, and things still go wrong. What then?
Well, sometimes you got to get creative.
Okay, I like where this is going.
One option is localized heating.
Well, localized heating.
Yeah, you basically heat up certain areas of the mold to expand the part just enough to break the adhesion.
So it's like giving it a little warm up to loosen it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
Another option is using vibration.
Vibration.
Yep, you apply controlled vibrations to the mold to shake loose any stubborn parts.
It's amazing how many different techniques there are.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
It's like engineers have thought of everything.
They've definitely put a lot of thought into it.
But it's always better to prevent problems in the first place, right?
Absolutely, that's the ideal scenario.
So careful planning and design are key.
Definitely. By considering all the factors we've talked about, you can significantly reduce the risk of things going wrong.
So it's like a multi-layered defense system. Proactive
Exactly.
design and material selection are your front line.
And then you have these specialized techniques as backup.
Awesome. It's so cool how much goes into making these seemingly simple plastic parts.
It's a whole hidden world of engineering.
Totally. It's like demolding is the unsung hero of manufacturing.
I think you're right about that.
It's amazing how all these little details, like a tiny slope or a well-placed air hole, can make such a huge difference.
It's all about those nuances.
Absolutely. It's like a symphony of engineering precision.
I like that, a symphony of engineering precision.
It really shows how important it is to understand the science behind it all.
For sure, it's not just about brute force, it's about finesse and understanding the materials and the processes.
And appreciating the complexity of it all.
Absolutely.
So we've really journeyed through this intricate world of demolding,
Wow.
all the challenges, all those clever solutions engineers have come up with.
It's pretty
But
amazing.
let's shift gears a bit and look ahead.
Okay.
What's on the horizon for demolding? Any cool innovations coming down the pipeline?
Oh, there's tons of exciting stuff happening.
Like what?
Well, one area that's really getting a lot of attention is smart materials.
Smart materials.
Smart materials, yeah.
What are those?
So basically, they're materials that can change their properties in response to external stuff.
External stuff.
Yeah, things like temperature or pressure.
Okay.
So imagine a mold made from a smart material.
Okay.
It could actually change its shape a little bit during demolding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could like expand or contract in certain spots to gently release the part.
So it's like the mold is working with the part to make sure it comes out smoothly.
Exactly. It's like it's giving it a little helping hand.
That's wild. What else is going on in the world of demolding innovation?
Another big one is simulation and modeling software.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
It's getting really sophisticated.
So these programs let engineers basically simulate the whole demolding process, right?
Yeah, they can see how it'll all play out before they even make a physical mold.
So they can catch any potential problems before they happen in the real world.
Exactly. It's like a virtual test run.
I bet that saves a ton of time and money.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And it helps reduce waste, too.
And I'm guessing these simulations are only getting better with all the advancements in AI and machine learning.
Absolutely. AI and machine learning are changing the game.
In what way?
Well, they can analyze tons of data,
Okay.
learn from past experiences, even predict potential issues before they pop up.
It's like having a demolding expert built into your computer.
Pretty much. It's like having a crystal ball for your manufacturing process.
That's awesome. Any other big technologies shaking things up?
Well, 3D printing is making a big impact.
3D printing for molds.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I can see how that would be useful.
You can create these really customized molds
Okay.
with all sorts of intricate details that you just couldn't make with traditional methods.
So what's so special about 3D printing for molds?
It gives you so much more design freedom.
How so?
You can create molds with complex cooling channels, venting systems. You can even embed sensors that monitor temperature and pressure.
Wow.
All that leads to more efficient and precise demolding.
So we're moving away from those one-size-fits-all molds to these custom-made ones that are perfect for each product.
Exactly. It's like tailoring a suit, but for molds.
That's a great analogy. So with all these advancements, smart materials, simulations, 3D printing, what does the future hold for demolding?
I think we're just scratching the surface, honestly. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think we're going to see some even more crazy innovations in the years to come.
Like what?
Well, imagine self-adjusting molds that can adapt to changes in temperature or pressure,
Okay,
or
yeah.
molds with sensors that give you feedback to optimize the whole process.
Wow, it sounds like demolding is becoming more and more high tech.
It definitely is, and I think it's only going to get more sophisticated as we demand more complex products.
Right. It's like demolding is finally getting the recognition it deserves.
For sure. It's an essential part of modern manufacturing.
So the next time we pick up one of those super intricate products, we should all take a moment to appreciate the demolding process that made it possible.
Totally. It's a hidden marvel of engineering.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the fascinating world of demolding.
It was fun.
We've gone from the basics to the cutting edge, and I hope everyone listening has learned something new today.
Me too.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.